Thanks for listening and stay safe.
Hey, everybody, it's Greg McVicar, creator of Undercurrents. Glad you're listening. This is KBOO 90.7, Portland.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KBOO. Consider adding KBOO to your will or add KBOO as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change. But recognizing KBOO along with your family and friends in your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KBOO to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact us at 503-231-8032 or email development@kboo.fm to notify us of your plans.
Here at KBOO, we honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on. The Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tomwater, Wetlala Bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin Kalapuya, and many other indigenous tribes and nations of the region of the Willamette River and that great river known as Shwaneku, Wimal, Nishaiwana, and Columbia. Many names for the living water force that has sustained this region for countless generations and provided phenomenal life to our blessed ecosystems. We believe it is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationships to each other and the living world.
It makes you such a threat.
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Chasha.
Get out of my
Am betu washtelo, chante washte nape chuzapielo, le unkipiki he washtelo. Greetings, good day, and I welcome you, my relatives, and I shake your hands with a good heart. Good for all of us to be here. This is First Voices Radio, National, International, and I'm Teokasin Ghost Horse, sending you greetings and strength from the highlands of the Esopus and the lands of the Munsee-speaking Lenape. First Voices Radio is an all-Native hosted, all-Native produced, and Liz Hill, a member of the Red Lake Ojibwe Nation, is the producer. And now for our guest. Etsiu is the gentlest balance of hard and soft, non-binary two-spirit indie queer femme. Their strength of identity resonates in their music to create a fullness of fierce spirit combined with an elegant grace. Their new music is full of thick synths, drums dripping with reverb, and the mix of modern take on 80s and 90s sounds that blends the nostalgic essence of Stevie Nicks, the raw emotional depth of Sharon Van Etten, and the atmospheric electronic textures of Drama, capitals D-R-A-M-A, Drama. The result is a sonic river of pain and beauty that sweetly soars into a singular healing journey. Etsiu's EP, Tunnel Vision, is a poignant exploration of the cruelty of heartbreak, the painful truth of mistreatment, and the radiant journey of resurgence. With vulnerability and fortitude, each track lingers with the listener like a cherished memory. Etsiu invites listeners into an auditory sanctuary where music serves as both refuge and revelation. In this sacred space, reclamation of self stands as the most powerful act of all. Etsiu and their artistry is a beacon of anti-joy for queer and indigenous communities and beyond, embodying resilience, grace, and unapologetic authenticity. This is about the new EP album Tunnel Vision. With a modern 80s approach, Etsiu's new EP Tunnel Vision is a four-track ensemble that serves as a vessel for the stages of grief experienced at the hands of heartbreak. Sugar, true to its name, evokes nostalgia with its melody and is reminiscent of past lovers. Sugar leads seamlessly into Not Enough, a ballad infused with futuristic beats, yet bearing an 80s sensibility. Following suit is This Love, a haunting anthem of self-discovery that through thick synth strings and otherworldly textures can reverberate even in the darkest of corners. The track Ego Death ignites hearts with pulsating electronic pop drenched in reverb drums, symbolizing liberation and rebirth. Throughout the album, Tunnel Vision, Etsiu masterfully weaves a tapestry of sound and emotion, inviting listeners to emerge renewed on the other side of heartbreak's labyrinth. And that's Raven Clan Welcome from the album Potlatch in a Box 2023 by Etsiu. But we'll be talking about the new album Tunnel Vision, released August 2024. throughout the rest of this interview. I'd like to welcome Ed Ziyu to First Voices Radio. Ed Ziyu is of the gentlest balance of hard and soft, and I wanted to know a little bit about the non-binary two-spirit indie queer femme. That's their, your strength of identity resonates in your music to create a fullness of fierce spirit and combined with an elegant grace. Ed Ziyu, is this the name of your band or is this an individual name? Thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have you here on First Voices.
Hello, yes, thank you so much. Ed Ziyu is my name. I was named by my grandmother, Rosie Dennis, when I was 6 years old. So it's my Tahltan name. I'm Tahltan and Taku River Tlingit from what is known as North BC in Canada.
And for people who listen in far northeast here in the United States, continental United States, is BC is a beautiful mountainous country. Etsy, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned your grandmother. You mentioned a little bit about your name. What's the name? What's the meaning of your name? And we'll go from there.
Sure, of course. Ed Ziyu is more of an expression. I was told it means kind of like when you haven't seen somebody you love for a really long time and they surprise you around the corner. It's like the feeling of that, of running into them. Almost like wow, like they're here type of feeling, more than like a direct English translation.
Isn't that really, because I've interviewed many Indigenous peoples worldwide, it's the meaning in the language, and far as I know, it's not so much the definition that we tried to describe it in English, but it's the meaning, and I get that from you. What happened to you that said that your career, so to speak, was going to be one of music? Is it part of the culture, or is just another path that you've added to your inclusion of life?
Well, I come from a pretty long line of storytellers and musicians, singers. Tahltan people are very musical. Tlingit people are very musical. And I'm really lucky to be from knowledge keepers that knew the language and knew songs. I interpret those gifts in a more contemporary way, speaking about current affairs here that impact Indigenous people in Canada specifically, but also in general, and especially within my last two albums before this past project, Kima Ani and Potlatch in the Box. So those two really speak to impacts, colonial impacts on our people.
The Potlatch in a Box was very mesmerizing, as I mentioned to you earlier, in another short interview. And you talk about introducing yourself in your language. You talk about, you know, you don't want to know me. You talk about the entry of the Raven Clan, the welcome of it. And then it leads into Two-Spirit. How would that come together for you as far as a Raven Clan? Because I want to say this too, Edia. Ziyu, is the acceptability of Two-Spirit is very difficult in today's modern society, whereas traditionally Native peoples, it's part of who we are, and maybe because of our colonialism now, it's less acceptable. But I come from a generation where it's more acceptable if you're traditional, but the colonization has also infiltrated our thought process of the traditional way to accept Two-Spirit. What is the difference as you find, because you're a much of generation that is younger than where I come from, what is the difference that you feel or see?
Well, I think it depends on who is around. There is a lot of acceptance. There's a really vibrant Two-Spirit and Indigiqueer and Indigenous trans community that are creating so much amazing art and creating so much amazing community with each other across Turtle Island. However, there are still elders that don't accept Two-Spirit people. I've experienced it myself during performing. At times, some elders don't seem to like that I'm there, or the people that I'm performing with are there. And some people my age, especially towards Indigenous trans folks, some of my Indigenous trans peers really experience that. So experience the transphobia that is still really prevalent within a lot of our community. So while there is those things still, there's also a huge, strong, beautiful, vibrant Two-Spirit, Indigiqueer, and Indigenous trans community that is really transcending those types of prejudices. And that's really, I'm just really proud to be a part of that community and to create music that is always like a love letter to that community.
Wow, I never thought about a love letter to community, meaning the culture, their language, how you grew up, is no matter what elders think of this, because those elders were probably affected by colonialism. And I think that's, you know, that outdated or antiquated thinking is on its way out. Not to say that everything is acceptable, it's that we have to find our limits, and this may be coming from me, find our limits as to what is not tolerable, what is livable within our communities. And I always say, our immunity is within our community. And I think that is very telling when we are more acceptable of Indigiqueer femme, especially in transgendered people. And I don't know, because I'm kind of a way of thinking, like, you know, we get mixed up with the pronouns a lot. And we're trying to make sense, at least I am still, of them. And I'm getting it, I think, you know, because ours was a different generation. But we cannot lose that actually rooted language feeling, and not try to codify or standardize our language into this foreign language of English, because it takes away a different thought process. And as one of your quotes I want to use here is, because of Tunnel Vision, which is your new EP, it's a poignant exploration of the cruelty of heartbreak. And in that statement you just said, that's what I felt. It's that painful truth of mistreatment. But as I could see, you're on a resurgent and you're bringing that back and actually exposing it, that we do need all walks of life within our cultures.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, our community as Indigenous people is very diverse, diverse in many different ways. And community means that everybody's voices belong and should be valued and heard, and not one thing works for just, you can't paint everyone with one brush, and not everything works for just one people. And I think that's what I love about our community, is that there is that diversity and there is that experience. And yes, sometimes under colonial learned ways, we don't always honor that, but I think it's really beautiful to remember that, and to remember that everybody does belong within our community, and we all had a role to play, and all do have a role to play now. So, yeah.
Well, that's right. Whoops. No, I think we knew about the world we do. Yeah.
Can we do as another need? My initial name is Walax, and I come from the house of Ahtiwilnorada.
Zenes, Zenes.
During my childhood, for the most part, it wasn't spoken very fluently around me. When you don't practice it enough, your muscle memory, it starts to lose that memory, and it falls by the wayside. In essence, it's decolonizing our face, decolonizing our body. If you really want it, you're going to make time for it. A big part of speaking our language has to do with the use of our mouth and the different parts of our mouth. Those types of things you get firsthand when you're face to face with someone. I think that's one of the challenges as well, is decolonizing our mindset. If you really want it, you're going to make time for it.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Thank you for that. A little back to the music, your approach. So I grew up with 80s and 90s. It takes me back to a time when music was changing a lot back then with punk and ska and different types of genres that was happening. Electronic music was coming in out of the post-disco era and more of broader sounds. Less big bands, if that was still there, was introducing the tail end of a big band sound. So it took me back to that. So I can approach your music with that mindset. And I think the way you present it is understanding, as you put it, the grief experience at the hands of heartbreak. What number, what track would you say expresses that within the album, your new EP, Tunnel of Vision?
Well, the EP really is a journey from the beginning of love to the end of a relationship that you realize is abusive and toxic and not holding you up in the ways that you deserve, specifically as an Indigenous femme. And I think that all of the songs have pieces of that, but the one that really has the most for me, just from my own experience and for what I wrote it, for what was happening when I wrote it, I would say is Not Enough is the track that really encompasses that for me. It's the track that I built the EP around, and it's the track that I wrote after a really heartbreaking moment with my ex-partner, who was also Indigenous, and realizing that, you know, those colonial impacts, how it was affecting our love and the grief that came with that.
Is there I don't want to get too personal, but is there a chance that you see as a younger generation that there's a certain amount of, let's say, colonial coma that we have to see through, break through the chain of that colonialism, because a lot of us seem to be asleep, either loss of language, loss of insight that you are bringing with your music. And it's like a breakthrough that we are looking for, that brings a traditional feel. What I feel is through this music and Tunnel of Vision, to me, is a very conceptual way, because that's one thing that I would say, either it keeps us into detrimental thinking or releases us into a breakthrough mentality. And that's what I feel you're bringing to through your music. you said something about evoking nostalgia, which it did for me. And that generation of people, either your grandparents or your parents' age in the 80s, was part of that influence to your music you use today. So it's kind of a reaching back and understanding grief from that disconnection to your modern day relationships, as you said, with your ex-partner. I see a lot of that grief being handled between us with either personal relationships or even a relationship with the community. And it's a long process. So my question is, how do you express that?
Well, I suppose that's a really interesting way of putting it, as to the grief of the generation of during the 80s, who grew up around the 80s or who were having children around that time. And I guess that would really be my auntie's generation. And they are really who inspire me to create. They inspire me to speak, use my voice to speak up, and they've always inspired me. And I've always been kind of obsessed with them, you know, like with their, this like 80s auntie culture of the big leather jackets and the big bangs and the really like strong attitude. And those were the aunties that really raised me. So it's interesting that you're speaking of grief and this kind of disconnect of culture around the 80s. And this EP that I've written, Tunnel Vision, a lot of the sounds are like the synths from the 80s, all that kind of sonic quality of the 80s. So I think it's a really interesting comparison you're drawing upon, like the grief of that generation and the disconnection of that generation, and kind of echoing it now through these songs, through my own relationship. It's not something that I've actually thought of in those terms, but I think that you're right. Like, perhaps that is part of the influence for me for using those types of sounds in this album. I would probably say Not Enough is definitely like the 80s kind of, the one that people really say reminds them of the 80s is Not Enough over the other ones, I would say. I just want to run.
Not Enough from the new 2024 album, Tunnel Vision, by Ed Ciu. This is First Voices Radio. My name is Teokas and Ghost Stars. Stay tuned. We'll finish out the second half with the music and interview with Ed Ciu. Land, air, and water. It's nature's law. First Voices Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the voices of people experiencing the consequences of war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. You can hear the perspective of indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law. Land, air, and water. The voices of the original peoples. Our guests are from every continent on Earth, endangered, unheard, and forbidden from being heard on mainstream and the neoliberal left airwaves, whether it is alternative or progressive radio. And welcome back to First Voices Radio. My name is Teokas and Ghost Horse. Thank you for rejoining us. I was asking Ed Ciu, our guest for the day, the deeper meaning that I asked about favorite tracks were on her new album, Tunnel Vision, released August 2024. One of them is Ego Death. And this is that explanation.
But okay. Ego Death also does, it's just more, I think that's more 90s actually. You can say, yeah, Not Enough is really the 80s tune.
Yeah. Okay. And I wanted to go back to original question I asked was in reference to you don't want to know me. It sounds like that's someone having to face the truth about who you are as your person is, the present Ed Ciu. Was that a reminder when I said that? Is that you don't want to know me? That's kind of a challenge.
Well, You Don't Want to Know Me is off of Potlatch in the Box, and I wrote that song more as, yeah, I guess it is a challenge to white supremacy, to white culture, and about how a lot of people, a lot of people who are non-native, a lot of people who are European, like come from a European background. They don't want to know Indigenous people, and they don't want to know who we are or how we love or how we hurt. So that's really what that song was written about for that album.
And it seems to slip right in there with tunnel vision, because you described their perspective about us, tunnel vision. Just for time's sake here, I think I ask you to apply or to explain a little bit, if you may, unapologetic authenticity. I had originally a show back in the 90s called Exposing the Apologetic Predator. And when you said unapologetic authenticity, that was in the same vein, and it felt very original to say this, because you're not apologizing for who you are until a certain time that you learned how not to apologize for who you are.
Unapologetic authenticity is really about valuing authenticity above attachments. And sometimes we can be attached to certain things, materialistic things, people who don't understand us. But if you value authenticity more, it means you may lose some things, however, or people, however, you're more real and more in your own personal power. So that's what unapologetic authenticity means to me. And when I reference it, that's what I'm describing, is the courage to release attachments, to own what you need and own who you are and own what you bring to the world in this existence.
That's beautiful. That is. So I'm going to end this interview with ego death, E-G-O death, which you just kind of went through, paraphrased it, that it is a symbolizing liberation and rebirth. You've gone through something, and now you can present the feeling through the music that you have, especially with ego death. Let's go out with that one and maybe describe the meaning to me.
Ego Death is the last track on my EP, my Indigiqueer pop EP, Tunnel Vision. And Ego Death is really about accepting that you need to let go of someone that you really love and that you really want, because they don't fit your life of how it's supposed to be, and they're not good for you, and it's not real love. Real love is about acceptance, about respect, about committing to building. And ego death is about realizing that this love is not any of those things, that it's actually committed to tearing you down. So that's what the track Ego Death is about.
And it's a great honor to talk with you, Edzu, and you masterfully talked about this. These were off-the-cuff questions, and glad you're available, so open to this. And of course, we'll listen to this throughout this hour on First Voices Radio here in New York, upstate New York. And thank you. It's been a great honor to have you here, Edzu.
Ganeshish, Madhu, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you. It was such an honor to be here.
Am I wasting my own time? What will it take to make you mine? Ego death is on the line. I can't find.
And I wanted to emphasize about the new EP Tunnel Vision by Etziu. It is a modern 80s approach. It's a four-track ensemble that serves this vessel for the stages of grief, grief experienced at the hands of heartbreak. And it contains the track Sugar, it contains the track This Love, and the one that we just played, Ego Death, which symbolizes liberation and rebirth. So I wanted to say these things because this new old music, to me, it transcends that generation she's singing about because of the music presentation from the 80s and 90s. And still we are listening. She's inviting listeners to emerge, as she puts it, on the other side of that heartbreak. And she's done it very well. And thank you for listening to Etziu. Etziu spelled E-D-Z-I-U. And I'm kind of tickled that you would go back and pick up that 80s and 90s style to bring to this young generation that he's from. And you can find out more about Etziu, a White Horse born Vancouver-based non-binary two-spirit indie queer femme artist, Etziu, right? And on YouTube, Spotify, and her website. That's edziumusic.com. Photographs and explanation. And you can get to listen to some of her music, new and old. Thank you for joining us here on First Voices Radio. My name is T. Okeson, Ghost Horse.
Everything is out there. If you really want to know the truth, all you have to do is...
We can find them if we want to.
Everything is out there. If you really want to know the truth.
But why does the Indian Act not have power over us, though? What do you mean by that when you said that?
Because it was never given the authority to have power over us. It just made them believe that it has the power.
Bare my teeth, cut my brain. Bennett Benny's bringing me low. Bringing me low.
More interested in self-gain.
That's Warrior's song from the album Potlatch in a Box 2023, Ed C.U. And I'd like to change the direction of the wind a little bit in this program to one of thoughts about water. Mini, the living relationship between you and I and all things as we find it through the universe, as we've known. And that's the cosmic word of Mini, as we know that in many indigenous languages. Science is just now discovering. Astronomy is verifying it somehow. But all this they're finding with technology. And with that technology, there has really not been any intuition. They call it guesswork, a hunch, a gut feeling, or just an educated guess. But water is something different. It has spirit. Mini is not a noun, if you can think of it that way. Water is not a noun. It seems impossible not to think of it any other way. That is basically a thing. So what if you were to think about water just a little differently? And how much you do need it? And just as equally, if not more, how much we take it for granted. As if it's always going to be there by the turn of the faucet. Even to bottle water seems like a privilege nowadays. But if you think about it, those of us who remember when water was not bottled, is that old school? Or is it old school to think in feudalistic terms like we do now, which is really antiquated, which is old school? That old school thinking, feudalism, feudalistic, this modern day civilization, is that that thought process is always extracting. And coupled with AI, that thought process that I'm even thinking about critically is now overrun by AI. I say this because AI is a machine, it's mechanical. It doesn't know how to stop, which is apropos because of Manifest Destiny. It doesn't know how to stop. It is greed, and AI will show you how greedy it is because you're feeding it energy, and you put science above the intuition, which is quite impossible. From my thought process, is that there's not anything artificially intuitive, and they cannot be, because intuition is cosmic as well. Artificial intelligence is just what it is. It's a man-made thing, and those who support it want to give it a personhood and rationalize it with the mechanical thinking and through its domination. That science is very patriarchal and domination has to be involved. Therefore, AI also will be in domination in its form as it slowly takes your energy that you support, the betterment of humankind, as if it was a bad thing to be living with Earth. So I'm going to say indigenous people's thought processes with water, Mini in Lakota, this very precious way of thinking, even that is scarce because we nounify it. And most peoples go to this quick word, this four-letter word, love, because it fits the way the West is supposed to have an all-in-one remedy, a solution. It's all love. But you have to really think about it, that we've taken love for so much granted that we don't know what it is anymore. It's held in vanity or over others who don't display it as well as you do. So I'm saying that Mini, I'm saying that anything natural in its original state is that which you seek in this four-letter word called love. And those who do not take it for granted are the ones who are actually supporting the living earth, being at peace with earth. So Mini, M-N-I, is a Lakota word for water, and not a noun, actually. It goes beyond any translatable word in English. And the fragmenting of Mini into simple English nouns provides a rough translation and loses most of the word's truer meaning and the essential ideas of water as being. So let me try to explain Mini in a way that makes some sense in English. First of all, Mini, M-N-I, is not a noun. So Mini does not literally mean water. There are several concepts based in the language of Lakota cosmology that one needs to know to even begin to understand the respect and honor that is given daily to Mini. The life and of mother's milk or mother's breast. This is where the yam of Mini becomes translatable as much as it is definable in noun form as you and me, and also becomes a little more understandable if we say Mini is you and me of that which carries or causes feeling with another through itself. Like a mother who is the carrier of water, Mini is an action of living. So you have to really, you're living this, not just saying it because it sounds cool as an environmentalist or because you think you're speaking a woke language. I'm sure that other Lakota know a deeper meaning of Mini. There is a story of Mini that we have about the first consciousness that Mini or water is. You know, I'm not even going to say water anymore, because it just takes the meaning away. So this first consciousness of Mini, that the awareness of the movement that sustains life in this continuum, which is cosmical, cosmological, and it is in our creation story, and it's always a shining mirror to the universe, and the transparency and a path of creation and its ability to produce synergy as a being. So that Mini is understood by Mother Earth as spatial, and there is no time to water. So all these wombs that are created by Earth, her oceans and rivers and lakes and creeks and ponds and streams and rains and floods and waves and humidity and wetness and dampness and hurricanes, tornadoes, rainbows, and the teardrops of babies. So this being creates with the sun, the moon, the stars, the winds, the earth and fire, and the life of all living beings, as you call it, sentient, of that which is thought of as non-sentient. So what I'm saying is, everything is alive. Midakoe oyasi. And if you always know the relationship, you don't need a connection. You don't have to unplug and plug in again the connection. Because this encoding, this source code of Mini, is the living meanings of those things seen and unseen by the delicate, fragile human eye. So just to end this, is that water is a cup of stars, really. And you can put that cup of water to your mouth and drink. That's what you're drinking, is a cup of stars. And all we see is the glimmering lights and reflections of the sun on the waters of Earth. So this is a place to rest some thoughts about Mini, or what you call water as a noun, a thing, held there very differently by many indigenous peoples. And this is Teokasen Ghost Horse. I want to thank you for joining us here on First Voices Radio, listening to my thoughts a little bit as an indigenous person. And I want to thank you once again as a host of First Voices Radio. My name is Teokasen Ghost Horse. Doksha Ake Wachyank Telo.
o suor da esperança. O vento que me guia. Vem, vento, vem. Me ensina a voar. Me libera.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy lunes 30 de septiembre.